and we weren't here last week, so we recap a little bit in what we have been speaking. And we've been speaking about the will of God in the light of a believer. A couple weeks ago, really, what was the joy of the Lord when the joy of the Lord is my strength? And I asked that question at Para Alta when I was there last Sunday, and one of the elders gave one of the most surprising answers, and yet it was the complete correct answer. Was I asked him, what was the joy of the Lord? And he said, the Lord Jesus. So that's everything combined into everything. The joy of the Lord is the Lord Jesus. And us permitting the Holy Spirit to live that life through us. Now, if we believe in prayer, we certainly should be getting a blessing tonight, shouldn't we? From the prayers that ascended, and for the desire to have more knowledge of what the Lord would have us to do in the will of our lives. So, you know, it's more blessed indeed when the will of God is sweeter than our own will. We need to realize that. And going back to this, what God wants us to do for in the will of, for your will and my will, what does God want us to do? Well, first we looked in John chapter 13, verse 34, and there he gives us a command to what? To love one another. And then he tells us in Romans 5:5 that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. So, you know, in order to do God's will, we have to listen to what God wants us to do. So the first thing that he wants us to do, and the first thing that is his will for our life, is as one of the brothers prayed, is love. And that's the first fruit of what? The Holy Spirit. Hold that in Galatians 5:22. That the first fruit of the Spirit is love. And then, I think, as we're recapping, that we would see that he desires that we love. And in order to do that, in order to love the way that God would have us to love, then, as another brother prayed tonight, we have to look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 23, and he says, if any man be my disciple, let him what? Put that next word. Deny himself. So you see, we have to deny, if we're going to love the way God wants to, then as the brother said, that self has to be kept out of the way. And so the Lord says, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And then, if we love and we have denied ourselves, then God wants that love to be shown, as it was prayed again in the prayers. The prayers tonight went right along with what we're studying, and people must have been reading the book of Colossians today or recently. So, you see, if we love, then we're going to give. You see, we're going to give. And in Luke's Gospel chapter 6 and verse 38, the Lord Jesus says, give and it shall be given to you. You see, so these are commands of the Lord. He says love, he says deny, he says give. See, this, and Paul tells us here in verse 3 of this chapter, we give thanks. So, you see, after that we're saved, we have the Holy Spirit right then, and then that love is shed abroad in our hearts, and that automatically, if we let that love have the way that he should have in our lives, then that love will cause you and cause me to deny myself and to think of others. And that's what we learn by John 3:16. For God so loved that he was. He gave. God gave. And then we find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul says, pray. Pray without ceasing. That's what God wants us to do. You see, he wants us to talk to him. He wants us to be aware of what he wants for us. And that's how we find that out, is we study his word to find out what he wants for us. as we see here in Colossians in verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you be filled with the knowledge. And I told you that word is the epignosis. That's the super knowledge of God. But you can have all the knowledge in the world, and it won't do you any good if you don't. Now look what this verse says. For this cause we also, since the day we heard, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you be filled with the knowledge of His will. Listen, in how much wisdom? All wisdom. You see, it takes wisdom to impart or study and to ingest and digest knowledge. You have to have the wisdom of God. So that's what he says. He's praying for these young converts and so that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Now we need to know what God wants us to do. And in this business of praying, the Lord Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, and verse 44, the last part of the verse, he said, pray for them which despitefully use you. That's hard, isn't it? But that's the command of the Lord. Pray for those who despitefully use you. And again, turn to, right while you're right there, in Romans 15 and verse 30. Now listen, we need to remember and look at all the words when we read them in the Word of God. Paul says, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayer to God for me. Now, Paul won these prayers of these people for him. Paul prayed for them. And he desired the prayers of others for himself, that he might be this way as well as they might be that way. And then over in 1 Peter chapter 1, or chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. And this is important when we're thinking about our prayer life. And now the husbands, this is talking to you. And perhaps it would be the same for the women, but it says here, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, speaking of your wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. Now listen, if you're not going to do that, the Word says in the rest of that verse that your prayers are going to be hindered. You see, you have to have a right relationship with your wife before you can have a right relationship in prayer to God. You can't be hypocritical with Him. He knows. And see, more often than not, your wife knows too. You see, that she knows more about you than you think she does. And He knows more about her than she thinks He does. So, you see, we're to have the right relationship so that our prayers won't be hindered. This is God's will in our lives. God wants husbands and wives to be able to be getting along, we'll use it just in that way in the contemporary sense, to get along the best, and the best way is to be filled with the knowledge of Him so that you can talk with Him and your prayers won't be hindered. That would be it. That's the way God wants a life for a husband and wife. That's what God desires there. And then back in Matthew's Gospel again, chapter 26 and verse 41. Now, the Lord says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation, for the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, which one is going to win out? Like the old black preacher said, it's the two dogs that's the one you say tick them to. If it's a black dog or a white dog, and we'll not pick on the black people, we'll say the white dog's a bad one and the black one's a good one. But whichever one it is, that you're going to say stick them to, the flesh or the spirit. And that's the way that this works, in the will of God. But you see, God has a permissive will. And God doesn't hold over us a whip all the time and say, do it, do it, do it. But you can go to the book of Jonah, and God will chasten you if you don't do it. Now, in the book of Jonah, you have a perfect example of the will of God. God said, Jonah, get up off your haunches, because he arose. He must have been sitting down doing nothing. God wanted him to do something. God said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to be caring about those souls down there. There's about 120,000 souls down there that don't know their right hand from their left, and apparently those were the people who had not yet come to the age of accountability. And so God says, my will for you, Jonah, is to go. Jonah said, no, I won't go. That was Jonah's will in complete opposition to God's will. And you can run from God's will, but my friend, you're going to be chastised for it, just like Jonah was. You're going to be chastised, and you're going to get a round-trip ticket, and you're going to come right back to where you were and start again with the Lord. It's just like when you look in the Old Testament where, back to Bethel, Jacob had to go right back to where it happened. And that's what we have to do when we're out of the will of God. We have to come right back to the place where our disobedience took effect. And that's what God is saying here to us. And then we see, in order for us to be in the will of God, we look in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, and it says, be ye kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Do we do that? I'll forgive, but I won't forget. Well, then, did you really forgive? I know God hasn't given us a forgetter, but if a person says, I'll forgive and won't forget, I don't think he's trying to forgive. You see, this is the Lord Jesus. You and I are to forgive the way that the Lord Jesus forgave us, or God forgave us for the Lord Jesus' sake, and that is, he forgets about our sins. He casts them into the sea of forgetfulness. He doesn't bring my sin up to me, what I did before I was saved. He doesn't bring that up to you, and neither are we to be constantly bringing something up to someone, because once we forgive, we are to have forgiven the way that God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. We're to be kind. We're to be tender-hearted, like the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to let the Holy Spirit live that life through us. And until we do, we will not have the witness that we desire and that for which we pray tonight, until we, as a corporate group, let that Holy Spirit live through individuals so that he can live corporately in us, then people will hear and say, my, how they love one another. That's what we desire. Now, when we need to be aware of the gospel. Now, Paul wanted these people to be aware of the gospel. And the gospel is that God's Son has come to this earth. That's what the gospel is. That's the good news. Had he not come to this earth, there would be no good news. But he was God come to this earth. And this is the reason that many people in those days hated him, because he said he was the Son of God. But the scripture over and over and over and over again tell us that he was the Son of God. He is the eternal Son of God. And he speaks of, as we get on, we won't get there tonight, but we were thinking about getting to verse 14 tonight. But we need to be aware of just what the gospel is. People would ask us that, and we say it's the good news. Well, what is the good news? Well, there's salvation. But that isn't it. There's salvation because salvation has come to the earth. Jesus Christ is salvation. He is salvation as a person. And you and I, when we believe, are in him and he in us. And this is something that God wants for you and for me in the will of God for our lives, that we show this forth, that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And the only way we can do that is show people. And the only way that you can show faith is by works. And that's what the book of James is all about. Showing that you have something real. And it's not just like James says, if a man say that he has. But we want a man to have. And then he would certainly be able to say it. But if you just say that you have it, that doesn't mean that you have it. And then God wants us to be aware of this. How he wants us to be aware of this and know this. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, John says, these things are written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you might what?
Know.
Know. That he won't, you see, we have to have assurance before we can really emanate to other people the love of God. Oh, I love God. And we, you know, I'm in the hollow of his hand. I'm as safe as the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you ever think of that? We say, safe in the arms of Jesus. No, that couldn't mean that's all right for the song. But I'm safe as the arms of Jesus because I'm in him and he is in me. And nothing can happen to me in my spiritual life unless it would happen to the Lord Jesus Christ. If I couldn't get to heaven, it wouldn't be my fault because I trusted in him. And it's nothing of my goodness, nothing of my badness, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ's word and my faith, my trust, and my belief in him. And this is what God wants people to see in your life and my life, that we love. And they will know we love by how we deny ourselves. They will know we love by the love that we have when we're giving and giving to others and giving thanks for what we have and praying, caring, and not just saying words, but really concerned in prayer. Now, don't get me wrong. Prayers do not have to be what men think pious and have flowery words. No, no, no. Prayer is a sincere talk with God by one of his children. And that's what God wants. He wants us to talk to him about things that we need done that we cannot do. Now listen, if God has given in his word the formula for doing things and that you and I have to do them, it is fruitless to pray for him to do it because he's not going to, because he's already given us the formula and the way to do it. You see, this is what God has already done. And so, you see, that's subtle unbelief for you and for me to ask him to do things when he's already said it is that way. And we need to be able to learn that. So, these seven are not to win his favor. These seven things that I've enumerated here. Love, denying, giving, praying, forgiving, and to be aware of the gospel, and to know, but to bring joy to God's heart. See, we shouldn't do these things to win his favor, but because I want to please my Heavenly Father. I want to please him. And that's what, if we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit can't do anything else through us, but please the Heavenly Father. That's singing him in closing. We didn't get very far. But yet when we read the Word of God, even if it's just one word, as the brother said in his prayer, it's so important if it's engrafted into our soul. Number 314. When I saw the cleansing fountain open wide for all my sins, I obeyed the Spirit's wooing when he said, wilt thou be clean? I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give him glory, all you people, for his blood can wash away each stain. I'd like to announce before we are dismissed, many people are not going to be able to be here for visitation night tomorrow night. So each of you, if you that are going to be here, you need not come here. Just go visiting, and the Lord will bless just the same. And we'll gather here again next month as a group to go visit. Number 314. Let's stand as we sing the first and the last verse.